Hello and welcome to today's episode of Impact School. Today I am joined with someone who's going to be talking about something that you probably have not thought about before. Her name is Babs Jamieson, and I'm pretty excited because not only are we in my house right now, but Babs is also a client of mine, and things started a little bit differently. She was building a business in a slightly different niche, doing things that, well, are pretty different to what she's doing now.
Yeah.
So Babs, welcome to Impact School.
Thank you.
Do you want to just give everyone a bit of a background about what you are doing and why you're doing it?
Sure. So when I started working with Lauren, I joined your course way back. I've actually been in Impact School for months now. But I joined as an online fitness coach, trying to build an online fitness business. I have a background as a lawyer. I've worked as a lawyer for years and years and years.
How many years has it been?
Qualified, 5.5.
Wow, okay.
Unqualified, it's like 7.5 in total. Like,
so you have a good level of knowledge and expertise in that field.
Yeah, 100%. But I was just like so, like probably many online business owners are, I was just so done with like the world of like law firms and big corporate and stuff. I worked for law firms, I worked in house and businesses, and I was just like done with like the politics, and I just wanted to be my own boss. And I loved going to the gym and things like that, and I loved, like, I used to be a dance teacher like years ago as well, so I was like really into fitness anyway. And so I kind of saw that the way out for me was to be working as an online fitness coach. So I did that for about a year and a half. I probably did that for, and I was working with you, building my fitness business through Impact School for a few months. And then I kind of realized that it wasn't really what I wanted to do. It wasn't really the way that my business seemed to be going. And what I was finding was that everybody I was meeting in the fitness world was asking me all these legal and business questions. And what I discovered was that like there were so many people out there that didn't actually fully understand what they were meant to be doing.
And yeah, we're going to talk about the importance of that today on this episode, because my oh my, have I learned a lot since you've made this pivot.
So I don't think it's something that a lot of people are doing or like know about and things. So
that obviously happened. People were asking you for advice when it came to legal things.
Yeah.
Let's just dive in on that for a bit. So you obviously basically listen to the market.
Yeah.
It was you listening to your friends or whatever, for sure. But you were basically taking on the feedback that was out there.
Yeah.
And I think this is so important because, like, I think oftentimes our very best business idea can be right in front of us.
Yeah.
And a similar thing happened to me, actually. I was really good at fitness coaching and I built a really successful online fitness business. But what I found that more people were coming to me for was actually, Lauren, how did you build this business?
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't necessarily so much about the how do I track macros and all that anymore. It then became that people were coming to me for something else, which is what I realized that's what I was really good at. And you had so much experience in that.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And I definitely felt more confident in it as well. And I was getting people kind of knocking on the door about that more than the fitness stuff.
Yeah, so everyone listening today, you are going to be getting some amazing information. So if at any point along the way of this podcast, you realize, wow, this is insane, I need this information in my life, and everyone, well, at least one person who's following me would find this valuable too, make sure to just take a screenshot, share it on your story, and tag the both of us. Do you want to tell them your exact handle? It's just Babs Jamieson, but do you want to spell it out for them?
Yeah, so it's BabsJamieson.
Exactly, and then I'm just at Lauren Tickner. Just share it, and then we'll both share it on our stories. But I think the information that you're going to be hearing on this episode here today is going to be so valuable, because I know that even as a business owner who's been in business by myself since I was 18, 19 years old, I really didn't take the legalities behind having my own business seriously for a very long time. And I know that we basically had a conversation. How did you finally decide, you know, that this was what you were going to go all in on?
I think, like, I was getting such a lot of satisfaction and, like, kind of just drive and happiness from seeing people coming from, like, they're growing their businesses, they're doing really, really well, they're excited about the money they're coming in, the clients they're bringing in, but then they don't realize that there's all this whole other world of stuff that they've just not been paying attention to.
Right.
And I was getting a lot of satisfaction from helping mainly my friends from, like, running online businesses and things like that get things in order. And I found it, like a really good way to connect with people. I found it a good way to be like involved in other people's businesses. I find that really kind of interesting and something that I really enjoy doing. It's I get to go into your business.
I know, we were saying this and you were like, we were talking about how we're both like super nosy.
Yeah. I get to go into your business and be like, right, so this is what your business does. You need to do X, Y, and Z, and that's going to sort it out.
Yeah.
And it means that you can, it's, I guess a fitness coach like goes into the lives of all the individual people that they're working with. For me, I was finding it actually a lot more interesting to go into the businesses that everybody's running and help them kind of make it legit and not have to worry. I feel that there was a lot of people that were sitting up at night wondering, am I doing this right? Am I paying too much tax? Am I, what happens if somebody takes my business ideas, what happens if someone steals my clients, what happens if someone doesn't pay me, all these questions that are actually really, really easy to answer, but that people who don't have the background in it find it really overwhelming.
Because there's so much legal jargon.
Yeah,
it's 100%. Just like when someone gets into online marketing,
right,
and they start seeing all these different things like Facebook ads and campaigns and like PPC and like all these different like terms and terminologies, it's super confusing and super overwhelming. And so that's why I think what you're doing is highly valuable. I remember when you mentioned to me that it's something that you would be interested in doing, I was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because no one's doing this.
Yeah.
No one's doing it. And the only people that you hear talking about the legal side of business is literally old men in America.
Yeah.
And the problem 100%. Is, I have been trying to find out information and when getting contracts made and things like that. And I like to hire people who I can listen to on a podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to do things in the typical way in which you phone up a company and then they give you a quote and then they do the work. Because how do I know if they're good? I kind of judge it based upon how good they sound on podcasts and what content I've seen on theirs. And I think that's interesting because I would say I'm sort of the new age of business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say a lot of people operate how I do, whereas my dad, he would do it way differently.
Yeah.
And he would just do some Googling and probably find what's the best based on SEO or based on referrals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really cool that this opportunity is here for you now. And I think that you're making the most of it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the time is only going to keep going by.
Yeah.
And so people listening to this right now, be like Babs and make the most of the opportunity that is here right now and actually start something and really just, you're going to be able to help so many people.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is obviously what you're doing now. I know that everything that you're doing is in such high demand. And so because of the fact that it's in such high demand, would you be able to give us a bit of insider information, right? I want to share with our listeners about how they can protect their empire legally so that, let's just say, someone tries to sue them, they don't lose everything, go bankrupt, and their business crumble. So I feel like it'd be really valuable if we could just start from the beginning. Let's say they just don't have any legalities in place in their business.
Yeah.
What are some of the most important things to have in place for a client business, aka someone who is an online coach or a consultant or they own an agency?
Yeah.
What's the most important things for them?
So the first thing, absolutely first thing, and this is the thing that I will always do with my clients, is to make sure, as you say, that everything is set up properly. So whether you choose to work as a sole trader, i.e. just you, just Lauren Tickner, just me, or if you want to work as a partnership with somebody else, or if you want to set up as a limited company. And I feel like people don't really fully understand what the differences between all of those are. So if you're running as yourself or just like in a kind of informal partnership with someone else, what you have to realize and appreciate is that if you get sued for something, if you do something wrong, if you get fined by a regulatory body, which people think it doesn't happen, it really does, or if you get sued, that's all your money. They're going to come to you, Lauren Tickner, and take all your money because you are a sole trader. You're not protected yourself in any way. That's fine as a kind of way to start out, and it's quite informal and there's not like a lot you need to do, but it does expose you to this extra risk.
Okay, so I have a question on this. I was a sole trader when I was first doing my online fitness coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was told as soon as I was making 80 grand a year,
mm-hmm.
I needed to register as a limited company.
Yeah, so that's kind of true, but not fully true.
Okay.
So it's kind of true because you have to then start, once you hit 80 grand a year, you have to start charging VAT.
Mm.
So that's why it makes sense to register as a limited company. However, you can register as a limited company today with no money.
Right.
You need like 30 quid to register a limited company. And the benefits of having that is like you only lose what you've put in. So if you put 500 quid into your company and you're like, right, that is my personal investment as a shareholder in the company, and I'm going to use that to set up this company. That's all you're going to lose. So if someone sues you, they can't come after your house, your car, everything in your personal bank account. They can only come after what's in your company bank account, which could still be a lot of money.
Yeah.
But they can't make you bankrupt.
Got you.
They can only shut down your company.
Yeah, so this is really interesting. So first thing that I want to say on that, and just about this episode of Impact School in general, is that we are obviously talking based upon the UK laws. Mm-hmm. However, I can imagine that it's probably pretty similar around the world, whether you're in America and things like that. But Babs's examples, I guess, pretty much that's what we can say this are, they're going to be based on UK law. But at the same time, it probably is quite similar all around the world. Just if you're in another country, make sure to do your own research. But Babs is going to be highlighting the importance and sort of some first kind of steps. And so this is going to be valuable for every single person all around the world. If you've ever made £1, $1, 1 yen, I don't know if that's how you say it, from anything on online or whatever. Yeah. So just on this topic, okay, sole trader. So if I, let's just say I am going to do some selling some stuff on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to register as a sole trader to do that?
If you're going to sell like some old shoes and I don't know, old handbags, something like that, I really, really wouldn't bother. Like, you're not conducting it by way of business. You're probably going to make, I don't know, a couple of hundred quid. If you're being really honest, HMRC aren't really going to care. Like, the tax authorities aren't really going to care too much about
that. And by the way, guys, quid means pounds. Just as a UK
Scottish
phrase.
Scottish.
It's UK.
It's UK.
But like the Americans probably don't know what it means.
Well, I'm actually qualified in the US as well. So I can also help with the US stuff.
I did not know.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. Okay, so.
No, I told you that.
No, I did not. Okay, so hang on. So, okay, so fine. Selling stuff on eBay, whatever.
It's fine.
I am an online coach
and
I don't have any clients.
I'd still set up a limited company.
Limited?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me why.
Because whatever you do, you are protected.
Okay.
So even if you only ever get 3 clients and you only ever make 1,500 quid, something like that, but somebody sues you, they can still sue you. That one of those clients could still sue you.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that the money that's in that account, the stuff, the assets and the money that your business owns, that's the only thing they can go and kind of have recourse against.
Okay, so if I'm a limited company and I have these 3 clients making 1,500 or whatever, well, does that mean I have to still submit my VAT returns?
No. You only need to charge VAT, or in America, sales tax, once you've hit a certain threshold.
Mm.
So I can't remember off the top of my head what it is in the States, but in the UK it's about 80 grand.
80,000 a year. Interesting. Okay, that's really good to know. Okay, so just on the topic of getting sued, right? So hang on. We spoke about sole trader.
Yep.
Which really people probably shouldn't do. Okay, so in America, that's a sole proprietor.
Yeah.
So in America, they can either be an LLC, an S-Corp, a C-Corp.
Mm-hmm.
Is the same thing sort of apply there?
Yeah.
I feel like it's a bit different. I feel like maybe this type of thing specifically is probably maybe better for an accountant as to whether you should be an LLC, an S-Corp, or a C-Corp.
Yeah, you can work with a lawyer or an accountant on either of it. Like, it really doesn't matter. People normally go to accountants because they're a little bit cheaper for this kind of thing. Like, and this is one of the reasons that I provide the coaching that I do as well, is because law firms are inherently very expensive to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas accountants can do it, which is why you're an accountant.
You're also teaching people how to.
Exactly.
And it's such a valuable thing to know, because it's also, not only is it helpful for you, but it's also, you know, it's kind of a cool thing to be able to tell your friends, like, oh yeah, this is what you should be doing in this area. I just feel like it's such a valuable skill to know the law, because unfortunately it's just something that none of us have any control over. We have to play by those rules.
This is the thing. And if you have everything in place and you have everything sorted and you've protected everything as much as you can, it doesn't eradicate the risk, but it really reduces your risk.
Yeah, like, because then if someone comes, if someone threatens to sue you, you know how to act when you understand the law. So, okay, so I guess like when it comes to the difference between LLC, S-Corp, C-Corp and all that, do you personally have any sort of understanding of how people should go about making the decision?
to be honest, if it is like you're setting up an American company, go to an American accountant.
Yeah.
But generally an LLC will fit for most purposes, but I would speak to an American accountant.
Yeah, because like that type of specific thing is more so about like your tax.
It helps with your tax. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I feel like we've got clarity there. So talking about getting sued again.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing which I feel people don't purchase is insurance.
Yes.
Okay, so can we talk about having insurance as a business owner?
Yeah, if you're running a business at the moment and you don't have insurance in place, you are running an incredibly, incredibly high risk. So as I spoke about before, when you have a company in place, it means that recourse can only be against the company and not you as an individual. That recourse shouldn't even happen to you as a company if you're paying your insurance premiums and something happens that's covered by your insurance. So you want to make sure that you've definitely got like professional indemnity cover in place if you're selling products.
Tell me what that means.
So that means like your services, your professional services that you're providing are covered by insurance.
What does covered by insurance actually mean?
So it means like, I find this stuff so like easy that I forget how to break it down.
Right.
It covered by insurance means that you basically pay a premium amount every month to an insurance company, and you are, if you're sued, for instance, you'd be covered up to like £1 million if that's what the cover on your insurance is.
Yep.
So if you're sued for 500 grand, you're covered. If you're sued for
1.5,
you're covered up to £1 million.
Okay. Yeah. So the extra 500K is on you.
It's on you. Yeah.
Got you. Okay. So professional indemnity insurance.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you tell us what indemnity actually means?
Yeah, so indemnity means putting you back in the position you were in before.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so actually you'll see indemnity in like contracts and things. If you sign up for terms and conditions, if you do like, I don't know, brand deals or client contracts, that kind of thing, you'll see the word indemnity, and it basically means putting somebody back in the position they were in before. Mm. So if you indemnify me, and you've done something wrong and you've cost me £1,000, you have to put me back in that position.
So it's like, okay, this makes perfect sense now.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So insurance, is there any sort of other insurance that people might need?
Yeah, it just depends. Definitely you need professional indemnity insurance, and most insurance providers will just provide kind of general business insurance.
Mm.
But if you are selling products, you need product liability insurance.
Yeah, public liability as well?
Public liability, generally, yes, if you're working with the general public, yeah.
Right, okay, so I guess like the majority of people who do client work will need
that. Should be covered in your kind of general business insurance.
Okay.
You're usually covered in that. And then you'll have employer's liability insurance if you have employees. Now, most people won't.
Yeah, can we talk about this?
Yeah. Most startups won't have people working for them. And then when they eventually do, it'll probably be more on a kind of contractor basis. So they don't really need employer liability insurance. But if you eventually have people that you take on as employees, you need that.
Okay, so let's dive into this, because I know that we've been having quite a lot of conversations about this lately. Because Babs helped me with all my contracts for my contractors. Careful what I say there. Yeah, so this is an interesting one, because I only recently realized that it made more sense for me to have my team members
mm-hmm.
be contractors rather than employees
mm-hmm.
after I had a conversation with my accountant.
Yeah.
So I didn't really understand this before.
Mm-hmm.
So can we highlight the difference for people so that they understand this?
So contractors, basically people are working on a self-employed basis for you. So they can work in the same way that we spoke about before, they can work as a sole trader or they can work through their own limited company, but they're working on a self-employed basis. So you're not their employer. You give them work and you pay them a fee for that work. But that's kind of where it ends. If you have an employee, you are responsible for things like maternity pay, sick pay, holiday pay, any other kind of obligation that goes along with employment. You have to make sure there's certain employment rights there. People have to have yearly appraisals. There's the whole kind of realm, the whole world that most of us have probably experienced being in the workplace that you have to have if you have an employee. It also means you have to pay income tax and national insurance or social security payments in the US. on behalf of your employees. Whereas if you just have them as contractors, you don't have to deal with any of that stuff, and they pay for their own tax.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds very much like it's way more beneficial to have them as contractors.
Yeah.
But at the same time, something that I have found is like, well, if they're a contractor, they can't just be committed to your company.
100%.
You can't legally force them to only work for your company, right?
Yeah.
So 100%. Are there any other negatives to having them as contractors?
Yeah, it's basically you just need to make sure if you have contractors that they don't look like employees to the tax authorities.
Okay.
So you can't have them doing things like, they can't have to turn up to your place of business every day.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have to, you know, you can't make them comply with your policies and procedures, you know, like health and safety and things like that, because it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
You can't basically have them integrated into your business. They have to purely look like a third party supplier. And there's like changes, there's actually tax law changes that are coming in April 2020. So it's not long now, but 6 months away. And this is in the UK. And you maybe heard of them, they're called IR35 changes. And it basically means that the tax authorities are going to become a lot more stringent on this stuff.
Mm.
And if a contractor is providing services through a their own limited company to your limited company, which is a thing, that if they look at all like an employee, that everybody there can be fined by the tax authorities. So it's about to get a whole lot scarier as well.
Damn, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so see, this is why it's important to know these things, because like, yeah, I would have no idea otherwise. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I would have no idea, and that's very interesting. I feel like a lot of people who have online businesses are very liable for this type of thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we obviously spoke about that. Now, I think that one thing here is that we need to talk about contracts between these two parties.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, let's talk about the agreement between a contractor and you,
mm-hmm.
and then also the agreement between you and your clients.
Yeah.
Because I feel that this is just so important, and it's something that so many people just don't do.
Yeah.
They go by email, or they go by just like messages, and it's just not good enough. So let's first start with talking about, I'd say, because it's probably more relevant for the majority of people, but the agreement between a client
mm-hmm.
and then also, you know, between the client and then you, because I know that you helped me out a lot when it came to me helping my clients with this particular topic.
Mm-hmm.
So can you help the listeners of this episode so that they can understand, you know, what needs to be in place for them to be backed and to ensure that their clients can't disregard their agreement?
Yeah, so something I hear a lot from people is, oh, but my clients would just get annoyed if I sent them stuff, and I don't want to hound them, and I don't want to make them print something out and sign it and scan it back. And actually, if you speak to someone who knows about this stuff, you realize that that's not even essential. And actually, the protection you get from just annoying them for 2 seconds is actually way outweighs the cost. And you're not even really going to annoy them, from what I'm about to just tell you, which is you don't actually have to have them print stuff off, sign it and scan it back, which loads of people think that you need to do. You can literally just say to them, here are my terms and conditions. If you don't agree to these, you don't need to go ahead with these services. You don't need to purchase this program, whatever it is you're selling. Or you can have like an online kind of signing program as well, if you want them to have an actual signature to it. But basically, when you have that document in place, it's going to make sure that they can, if they are going to ever sue you for anything, that they're only going to sue you up to a certain amount. You want to limit that. So again, we spoke about having the insurance in place. You don't want to use all that insurance on one client. So you want to make sure that that's limited as low down as you possibly can. But you also want to make sure that they have kind of requirements in place to make sure that they pay you at a specific time.
Mm.
Because if you end up having to like go for people for payment, if they've not made their subscription payments, that kind of thing to you, if they've not paid for products that they've purchased, you just want to make sure that you have something in writing that says that they were meant to do that.
Mm.
So that if you ever have to take this further, if you ever have to go to court or go to some kind of like credit agency, that kind of thing, that you have something in place that says that you were entitled to.
Yeah, can I just say as well, this is one thing that people don't think is ever gonna happen to them. So people think, oh, but my clients are amazing, they'll never do this, they'll never not pay me. But unfortunately, when it comes to money, people act way out of character. And so I've had it multiple times where my really good clients have not paid. They've gone off the radar. They just vanished. And fortunately, we have really good, thanks to you, we now have really good, you know, contractual terms and conditions and everything like that in place. And we also have a full-on team of people who are going to go ahead and chase those payments, right? So obviously, when you're first starting out, you don't have that team to chase the payments. But if you have the correct terms and conditions in place, then you don't actually need that team, because if then you are just like going to get a lawyer on them, then you're going to be winning, right?
Yeah,
100%. So for me, I have the team because I, you know, it's just easier for me to spend a bit of money every month to have that dealt with. Because like for me, it's like a lot of effort to have to actually take one client to court, and it's probably not going to be so worth it. I don't know. Yeah. But at the same time, like if I didn't have that terms and conditions in place, then I'd be screwed, because there's no reason for them to actually pay me.
Exactly. And if it ever did go to court, and it's unlikely, but it could.
Yeah.
And if it ever did go to court, you then have to prove that you were meant to deliver a service and what time. And it all becomes very complicated. If you have it all written down and they've said, yep, this is fine, I agree to this, there's no wriggling out of that.
Okay, so let's talk about writing it down. So would it count if it was in like Facebook messages or Instagram DMs?
So it's not a legally binding, well, it is a legally binding contract technically, but it's not, because it's written down, but it's not easy for a court to ever look at it and say, this is exactly what the parties agreed. So it would make any court process more time consuming, more expensive, and much less certain as well, because there could be obviously different interpretations of what somebody meant in a message, and somebody might say, yeah, I'm totally up for that. And you've taken that as, I am paying for the program. Mm. But they didn't mean that at all. They just meant, yeah, that sounds good. Whereas if you've got this all written down in a contract that someone's either said to you by email, yeah, that's good, happy with that, or they've signed it, then there's very little room for error there.
Okay, but surely it would make more sense if when you're sending a contract to a client, the client can actually understand the contract rather than having all these this ton of legal jargon in there.
Oh, 100%. And that's why like lawyers like me and other lawyers that work with online businesses, they really make an effort to make them kind of easy to read and as user friendly as possible, because there's another argument in itself. Like a client, if you ever did have to go to court, if there was ever a dispute, they would have to go to the judge, and then they could even have a very good argument to turn around and say, well, I didn't understand what was in that contract.
Mm.
So I think it's really important to make sure there's like a happy medium, that the contract covers you in every way that it needs to, but that it's also easy for everyone to understand. Because also, if you don't know what you're signing up to, a lawyer might have told you it's fine, but you need to understand what's going on in your business as well.
Yeah, that's so true. Wow. That's, yeah, it just goes to show the importance of actually doing things properly.
Yeah.
Right?
Protecting your empire.
Yeah, literally protecting your empire. No, I love it. And that's the name of Babs's business, by the way, if you didn't already gather. So cool. Okay. Right, so you need to obviously have this in place with your clients. How about with your contractors?
So with your contractors, as I mentioned before, an important point of having a contract in place with them is to make sure that they are definitely contractors and they don't look like employees, so you don't get fined by any tax authority. So that's a big part. But another part is as well is that you want to make sure that they're not taking your clients, they're not taking your work. A big thing with fitness coaches that I've seen a lot of is like, they start to grow their online businesses, they bring in people to help them, other PTs, other nutritionists, and then they take like their nutrition plans and their training programs and things like that. And nobody has anything written down to stop them doing that.
Yeah.
And even if that one went to court, they could probably argue that they had something to do with creating it in the first place.
Yeah.
And it all becomes very messy, and it all starts from a good place of, but I really trust that person and I got on with them really well and they would never do that to me. And unfortunately in business, that's just not the way that it goes a lot of the time.
Not just business, but also life. Like, let's just say, you know, sometimes you're married to someone 20 years.
Yeah.
You have kids together, you have a life together, friends, you've maybe even got a business together. Then the woman decides to cheat on the man, and then the man decides to like take her for what she's worth and just like take her to the ground. And these things happen, right? In love, so of course they're gonna happen in business as well. Imagine this, right? You have been working for 5 years to build up your business to a level whereby you have contractors, you have coaches working for you, those coaches have relationships with your clients, you have all this content, you've been working on tons of stuff, And then suddenly one of those coaches leaves, takes all the clients that they've been working with, takes all the content that they've been working on, and tries to basically say that, nah, they were doing their own thing. They didn't have any requirement to be fulfilling anything for you. That's what can happen if you don't legally back and protect the things that you're doing, okay? This stuff is so important.
100%. And this is what I always say to my clients is the money you put into protecting yourself now is way, way less than if somebody does exactly what you've just said and takes all your clients, all your work, all your everything. You spent 5 years building that up. It can go overnight.
Yeah, it's just like the cost of not taking this seriously, right? 100%. And so it far outweighs that. So Babs, I'd love to ask you, just while we're on this, I've got a couple more things that I can think about when it comes to what I think is important for our listeners here today, here on Impact Schools Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe if you've not done so already. But would you be able to quickly just share a couple of other things that you feel are really important for people to pay attention to?
Yeah, so one that is my biggest bugbear ever, and that is dealing with the new GDPR laws that have come into place. Now, that is the new data protection rules that are affecting everyone all around Europe and the UK, but also people in the States as well. And it's basically...
And everywhere else.
And everywhere else. But it's basically... It impacts anybody that holds any personal data of any EU citizen. So it could be, I don't know, a company based in New York, but that has a client in London that's still going to impact them. So this is relevant for everyone. And so many online businesses don't seem to be registering with the data regulation authority in the country that they operate in. So in the UK, that's the ICO, the Information Commissioner's Office. It costs £40 a year. And it basically says to them that you're holding personal data. And you have to do certain things when you're holding people's personal data. Now, that can be like bank details. If you're a fitness coach, it could be like measurements, before and after photos, that kind of thing.
But
it it can also be things like name and email address. That is personal data. Mm. If you hold that, you hold personal data. You need to be registered with the ICO, but you also need to have in place certain things. So you need to have a privacy policy and a cookie policy if you've got any online presence, and by that I mean website, landing page, Facebook ads, that kind of thing.
Funnel,
anything like that. But you also need to have like an internal written down process that you actually stick to do with personal data. So you need to know when you're going to delete personal data, after how much time, and you need to justify why you need to actually do that. You need to encrypt certain information, you need to password protect certain information. You basically, if you're working away on your laptop at home and leave it open in a house where other people are and go to the bathroom, you've breached the data protection rules.
Wow.
It's things like that that people just don't think about. Somebody can come to you and say, can you give me all the personal data you hold on me? And you have to give it to them. You have to have a process in place to be able to do that.
So you need processes, you need to be registered. I'll make sure I'll leave the link to the
ICO. Yeah.
First time Bab said it to me, I was thinking about like, blockchain, and I was like
Bitcoin,
I thought she meant initial coin offering. So funny.
That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, definitely. So the other thing that I wanted to touch upon is like, okay, so back in the day I used to sell tons of ebooks, right? And I got a massive load of scale on that. Now, I don't believe this is the best methodology to build your online business anymore.
Yeah.
I now believe in obviously the impact offer that I know you know all well and good about from Impact Schools Academy, but what I'm talking about is like, I had all these ebooks, all this content, courses, all that. And then what I found out was that my ebooks had been put on some illegal torrent website, okay? So the ebooks had been put on this torrent website and people were just downloading them for free and like exchanging them. And so I was really annoyed about that. I emailed a couple of them. I had a response back from someone. But what can I do? Because here's the thing. I had copyrighted these ebooks by putting the copyright symbol and the address at the back of the page. And so, yeah, what do you do there?
So the thing with all this legal stuff is that it can't stop people doing stuff. It just gives you something to do, a course of action if they do it.
Right, so like if someone's speeding on the road,
you can still speed.
You can still speed if you want, but if you're getting caught speeding, then you can get fined.
Yeah, and you can get points in your license, you can even go to jail, that kind of thing. So that is the recourse that the government has against you if you speed. If somebody takes your work that you've written, you, if you have copyrighted it, then you have better recourse against them. Mm. If you ever had to go to court, if they like made a lot of money off of it and you wanted to sue them for that. The thing with copyright is actually it automatically arises as soon as you write something on a page. So if I write a little short story to myself right now, that's my copyright. I own that. I don't even need to write copyright on it. It's better if I do. If I write copyright property of Babs Jameson, and you can even register copyright if you want. Not a lot of people do it, but you can do it. All of these things help protect your work a little bit more, so that in the event you did have to go to court, it's again easier to prove.
Right, so it's sort of like different levels of protection, really.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So where do you kind of draw the line?
So with copyrighted work, I would actually just make sure that in all of your terms and conditions on like your website and things like that, that it says everything on this website or everything in this funnel or whatever is my copyright, and you can't reproduce it, you can't copy it, you can't send it to anybody else unless you give me credit for it.
Mm, interesting. Okay, cool. So I feel like I just wish people would take these things more seriously.
100%, because what I always say to my clients is you can take 3 years to build something that can be destroyed overnight. Mm. And that really is what it means. Like, there's, you should see the amount of like cases out there, legal cases or fines, things like that. I mean, the ICO, the Data Protection Authority in the UK, they can fine you up to hundreds of millions of euros or a, like a certain percentage of your annual turnover. And these are big, big numbers.
Insane.
And the more kind of renowned and prevalent you become in your industry, the more well known you are, the more successful you are, the more likely you are to attract attention.
Yeah.
And it is, this stuff is just so, so important. And you could have put all this time and money and effort into it, and it could all be gone because someone finds you,
that
someone steals your stuff, a client doesn't pay. You could have one massive paying client and they just stop paying and you crumble.
Yeah,
wow. All of these things can happen.
Okay, so let's talk about this then. So why are you so passionate about now building your business based upon this?
Because I feel like this is an area that is so untouched for so many people. People just don't understand it. People are going out there and being really entrepreneurial and creative, and everybody's now working from home and building these amazing businesses, and this is unreal, but they could lose it all.
Mm.
And I feel like if people put the protection and the security in place early on, when, let's face it, they probably got a little bit more time.
Yeah.
And they have the actual opportunity to set this up properly. They don't need to worry about it later down the line. That's what I really, really want to promote.
Amazing.
We don't want small business owners and entrepreneurs waking up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my God, like what if this, like, you know, things have gone a little bit wrong, that relationship starts to go a little bit sour. What if they steal things from me? What if this happens? What if they don't pay me? Like, we want to make sure that everybody is in a really solid position with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, clients, like, being slanderous on social media,
yeah,
about you, maybe if you do one thing wrong,
yeah,
you know, that's the type of thing that you need protection against.
100%.
Because the message gets out, people just think, oh, it's never gonna happen to me, it's never,
yeah,
gonna happen to me. This is why I love what I do so much, because like I get to help people like you build businesses that are gonna help other people.
100%.
And it's so cool, and
yeah,
so I'm super grateful for that. So maybe just on that topic, just because you've had a taste of Impact Schools Academy before everyone else, Babs, would you just be able to share with our listeners how it's been helping you actually get all of this done and have clarity on moving your business forward?
Yeah, so I run this business at the same time as working freelance as a lawyer. So it's like, that's more than full-time hours trying to run a business on the side as well. It's a lot. And one of the biggest things that Impact School's given me is a serious structure to follow to make sure I actually do it, and that I get shouted at if I don't, in a very nice way. Because
we hold you accountable.
That's the thing. Like, I'm a very hard worker. I'll get up and do my work, but a lot of the time I'll be doing the most urgent thing. I'll be doing the thing where the deadline's coming up, and actually the most urgent thing should probably be growing my own business.
Mm.
And that's the biggest thing, absolutely. What's really helped me is having the coaches on board as well, because they've all got a kind of different area of expertise and a different slant. So they've been looking at things in my business from a different perspective. But also just having like the systems and the processes in place like that for me, I'm not super up on the tech stuff. It helps me to kind of have a follow through of like where I'm starting, what my funnel looks like at the beginning, how I'm going to get clients through that funnel, and how I'm going to provide the coaching services at the end. So it's really helped me a lot.
And I also think it's interesting hearing you say about how you like that there's different coaches, because something that I get oftentimes from people who are actually scaling, they're like, no, but people, because I work with some higher level people as well, people who have like been in business for a while and now they're trying to scale past sort of like 10 or 15 grand a month, trying to get to like 25, 30, 40 grand a month and beyond. Mm-hmm. These people, they're at the stage now where they need to bring on other coaches and consultants into their company so that they don't have to do all the client delivery. Mm-hmm. And so they say to me, but Laura, like one of my clients, Emily's perfect example, she'll say to me, but Lauren, they come to this program for me. They want me. And so what do you say on that? Because I know that, for example, you've done some calls with like Cash and Marie Louise. Mm-hmm. And so Cash is really good on when it comes to mindset, Marie Louise on productivity.
Yeah.
So I know for sure that I don't have the patience to optimize your schedule as much as Marie Louise might, right? Mm-hmm. So what's your opinion on that? And how has it made you been able to think bigger about your business as well?
Well, the thing is as well, is that you're not going to be able to deliver that level of service as one human to everyone, which I as a business owner understand, and other business owners I would think probably understand that as well.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
But also, like, everybody has their own specialty.
Exactly.
Your specialty might not be what one of your other coaches' specialty is. Mm. And that's why you would bring those people on. And that's why, I guess, as you're scaling your own business, you want to be bringing on people who kind of pull you up and bring up the offering more. Like, and I actually just like having the different personalities involved in my business well.
No, I totally agree. Like, for me, I'd say my zone of genius is really helping those people scale from like 10K a month upwards to, you know, hitting like 100K. Yeah. Like that, because that's what I've done more recently. And that's what I feel like I can really thrive at, and that I understand and I can see that sort of bigger picture. Whereas like, I can't deal with those like intricate details, which is why as the business owner, I bring on those contractors to help me do that for our clients. Mm-hmm. And so it's super interesting because like, I think just hearing you say that, I think it will help people understand that maybe when they want to get a coach, doesn't necessarily have to be that one coach, or when they're building their coaching companies, it's going to be fine for them to hire other coaches as well.
100%. And I also think if you've bought into that coach and you trust that person, you have to, you're trusting their judgment with your business. You have to trust their judgment with how they're
with
delivering
their
course as well. Yeah. Like if you didn't think someone was good, you wouldn't hire them.
Hell no. They'd be gone like that. No, that's amazing. Awesome. Well, it's been so cool having you on. Is there any last thing that you want to tell people? I know that you obviously have this awesome new program that you've developed with Protect Your Empire. I know that you're currently like maxed out. So how can people join your waitlist? Can they just message you on Insta or something?
Yeah, so if they just get me at Babs Jameson on Instagram, or Babs Jameson on LinkedIn as well.
LinkedIn,
I'm big on LinkedIn at the moment as well. But just drop me a DM on either of those. As Lauren mentioned, my waiting list is getting quite long, so get your name on it.
Hell yeah, no, absolutely, because I know for sure that you're going to be extremely successful. I'm so excited by everything that you're doing, and it's something that everyone needs, right? The industry needs it so bad.
It does.
And be sure to just, you know, just get on this, send Babs a message. You will not regret it. And so thank you so much for tuning in today. Remember to share this podcast episode with just one person. And if you want to jump in to the program that Babs is on right now, you can just go to newonlinecoach.com/workshop. And then you'll be able to watch a workshop, which is basically gonna give you the old way of doing online coaching and consulting, you know, typically selling check-ins and selling like ebooks and just things that are going to leave you stuck in the bottom 80% of all online coaches and consultants. And then I'm going to show you the new way, right? The new way of doing online coaching and consulting so that you can build an extremely successful business like Babs and really take your income to that next level, you know, maybe get to your first 10K per month, but then scale way beyond that. So I'm going to show you the new way. That is newonlinecoach.com/workshop. Be sure to check that workshop out. It is going to change the game for you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you've hit subscribe. Be sure to share this episode with someone, and we'll see you next week.